Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, our church treasurer, Bill Murcutt, told me the story of his good friend, Ken Hutt. Ken had been a respected, successful, tough building site foreman in the construction industry. He never gave much thought to God in his working life, though he knew that his brother-in-law and his wife in New Zealand were Christians. He eventually retired, but soon became ill with emphysema, a serious breathing illness. His condition grew so serious that he went into a coma and was rushed to hospital. In his coma, Ken had several visions of God. He woke up from the coma and explained to his brother-in-law and wife, who'd just come over from New Zealand to visit and support Gayan, Ken's wife. He told them about these visions. And over time, over these next few days, they explained the gospel to him. And he became a Christian. He decided he wanted to follow Jesus from what he'd heard, and so did his wife, Gayan. They knew Bill and Val Murcutt and asked Bill and Val to come and help them grow as Christians. It was all new to them, and their brother and sister-in-law had gone back to New Zealand. Ken and Val met regularly with them. Ken's condition grew slowly worse, so that 3 years later, he was in a special unit in Healesville. He'd share his newfound faith with those around him, have Bible studies with Bill and Val. He was a favorite with the nurses and doctors, and he knew of his sure hope in Jesus and died just this May, knowing where he was going. Lots of people had played a part in Ken's journey of faith and were links in the chain, and Ken was so grateful for these messengers of the gospel. And in this last in the series of fruitfulness on the front line, we're looking at being a messenger of the gospel. Up to now, the focus has been demonstrating God's love in the way we live, the things we do and say, the five M's all here on the card. Do take one, free and in the foyer. Okay? Modeling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, molding culture by being salt and light, and last week, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice. And today's focus is on that final M, being a messenger of the gospel. Yes, of course, we need to adorn the gospel by the way we live and act, but we're called to share it too. And as Ken discovered to his absolute delight, the gospel is the best news in the world. And lots of girls and boys are going to be discovering that this week. I've got two headings, being a messenger and being prepared. Firstly, being a messenger. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, quoting from the book of Joel, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's a wonderful truth, but Paul then asked some very practical questions, and they were in our reading, verse 14 of Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Put simply, how can anyone believe in Jesus if they've never been told who he is and what he's done for them? And then the question is, who's going to tell them? Paul continues, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? I didn't become a Christian by osmosis. Someone prayed for me, shared the gospel with me. I believed it and gave my life to Christ. And I'm sure that's the case for many of us here this morning. Someone, somewhere, at some point in our lives, was a messenger of the gospel to us. In a way, God sent them into our lives, and we're forever grateful. Jesus sent out the 72 in Luke chapter 10 to spread the kingdom news. And of course, Jesus himself declared the gospel message. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How else were people to know who he was unless he told them? He'd come from heaven to earth to reveal God's love, to bring the message of forgiveness, of new life, of hope and purpose. He wasn't going to stay silent. He declared, "I've come that you may have life, life in all its fullness." John 10:10. And after the resurrection, he tells his close band of followers, "Go. Go and make disciples of all nations." He sends them out. We still do that today. We send people out, sending mission partners to various parts of the world to be messengers of the gospel. Yesterday, the Walker family returned from Rwanda after 6 years making Jesus known there. I imagine having a good sleep and catching up after jet lag. But for most of us, being a messenger of the gospel isn't about going abroad or getting a plane anywhere. It simply means taking the opportunities where we are, where God has put us, sent us on our front lines. Tomorrow, that will mean being a holiday club leader for those I just commissioned a moment ago, reaching out to the children and families in our community. For the rest of us, it means taking opportunities to share our faith in simple everyday situations of life with friends, family members, work colleagues, neighbors, school friends, college students. Two factors that will help us to get such opportunities to be a messenger are praying and caring. Praying for a particular person in an intentional way on a regular basis. I'm sure I could meet people over tea and coffee who tell me, "Do you know what, this pal of mine or my sister prayed for me for 10 years to know Jesus, and that's why I'm here today." There'll be people who'll tell me that, who will have that story. Someone prayed regularly for you and you and you. That's why you're here. And they cared. We're to care in a sincere, genuine way for a person, listening, helping where we can. Just as Paul was able to write to his friends in Thessalonica, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." Sharing is about us as a whole person. Jesus, yes, he preached to that big crowd of 5,000, but he fed them as well with the loaves and fish. He preached, the gospel was central, but he cared about them as people. They were hungry, and they had a walk home. Prayer and care. Many of us came to Christ through genuine friendship with a Christian, and their care and interest in our whole lives was a bridge to receiving the message of good news. So being a messenger. We're going to watch a short video clip now where Mark Green tells the story of how simple everyday caring can lead someone to a deeper fulfillment in Jesus. Thank you. We've looked at being a messenger. Now it's being prepared. You could definitely say that Anita was prepared. She had those Bibles in her boot. That may not be quite our style, but it was Anita's, and God blessed her for it. Our Bible reading in 1 Peter says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have." Peter, the author, doesn't say we need special qualifications to do that. It's just simple, everyday sharing of our faith. Someone asks us why we're a Christian or why we go to church, and we're to give the reason. Are you and I ready to do that? Do we know what we'd say when someone asks us? Kieran Carr was recently with a group of friends from Ridley College at a winery at the Yarra Valley. They'd obviously been studying the miracle of the water into wine at Cana. They were doing some wine tasting, and the young woman pouring the wine for them was told that they were church ministers. She asked, "What made you want to do that?" Well, one guy, he's in a winery, he's just in ordinary clothes and stuff. He'd been a taxi driver before ordination, and he just told this woman his story. It was his own personal story of God's work in his life, and she listened. Janet Kearns, who many of us know from the 10 a.m. service here, had known her friend Julie for many years. I've asked Julie for permission to tell this story. Julie knew Janet was a Christian, and although Julie didn't believe, she had lots of questions. Julie had gone to church as a child and years later got to a point in her life where she wanted to know if God was real. Janet offered to go through Christianity Explored with her one-to-one and came to see me to ask, how does that work? How do I do that? So I went through that with her. She offered it to Julie, and Julie said, "I'd like to do that." They set up on a Friday night over a coffee over several weeks. They did the course, and Julie came to know God's love for her in a whole new way. Julie's just joined a home group, and she's here this morning. Her friend had been willing to share the hope she had in Jesus. If we know and love the Lord Jesus, then we've got a story to tell of how that happened. If someone was to ask us this week how we came to believe, what would we say? Mark Green in his book says that once he'd worked out what he would say if asked, "How did you become a Christian?" and got it down to a short, sensible length, he was amazed how many people asked that question. How did you become a Christian? But then he admitted in his book that in fact he wasn't so surprised, because the better prepared we are, the more opportunities God seems to bring our way. And when it comes to telling our own story, people are a lot more interested in hearing it than we may think. Well, it's just me. I mean, you know, I'm not Paul the evangelist in the Bible or Moses or anything. I'm just me. But hold on a minute. Our TV and radio channels, newspapers and magazines are full of personal stories. You know what? People love personal stories. Autobiographies sell like hotcakes. So how would we tell a friend our story of coming to Jesus? I believe the best way is to have a little structure: before, how, and after. If you come from a Christian home, it's probably just the how and the after. My life before I was a Christian, how that all changed, and now afterwards, the difference Jesus has made in my life. Before, how, and after. And if you're in a growth group or a prayer partnership, may I suggest that this week you get into pairs and share your stories with each other and make little suggestions. I think that could be a bit shorter or a bit clearer. And just see whether you can get it down to between 2 or 4 minutes max and share your story with each other. And I think that will give you confidence when you meet someone who's not yet a Christian and who asks you, you'll think, actually, I think I know what I want to say and what I want to really highlight as important for me in my life that made me want to be a Christian. Apart from anything else, if you did that in those pairs, you'll be hugely encouraged by hearing how someone's life was changed by God. I love to hear those stories. I'm sure you do. Of course, it's always helpful if we can go one step further and explain in simple terms what the gospel is really about. If someone asks us to explain it, we might feel more comfortable to lend them a book which helped us understand the good news. We may try doing what Janet did and use a DVD resource, one-to-one with a friend. We might invite someone to the Alpha course, which Bev Churchwood and I will be running from August the 8th this year. You may have learned how to explain the gospel using Two Ways to Live or the Four Spiritual Laws or another simple method that clarifies the essentials of the gospel. And they can be a good little framework that help you. Would a friend pop along to church here at St. Alfred's with you? Or come along to a men's breakfast or a women's brunch? Do you have an evangelistic book or some booklets in your home for that time when a friend asks after a chat, "Do you have anything I could read?" Wouldn't you just kick yourself? You've got this, you've prayed for this person for maybe years, and they ask that question, and you've got nothing. You might have a Bible, but that's quite a tough place to start, unless you say, read Mark's Gospel would be a good suggestion. But why not go to Koorong? Maybe get the book that changed your life, if that's the case, or ask one or two to recommend a book. Maybe get one or two little booklets, Why Jesus by Nicky Gumbel, something like that. And just have them in your kitchen or in your study or just in the house. You never know who's going to ask. I often find it's helpful to take stuff on holiday. People are much more open on holidays, probably because they know they'll never see us again. And the number of wonderful chats I've had with people, by a pool or on an airplane, just wanting to find out about the gospel and my story. Very interesting. And I've often found it's worth taking a book or a little booklet with me. They've always asked the questions, not me. And I think you'll find that's very often the case with you. So there it is. Being a messenger and being prepared. Friends, there's no greater privilege and no greater responsibility. It takes time, prayer, and patience. But be reassured, God is at work. He's always there working in someone's life way before we're on the scene. But God still wants to use you and me to bring the people He made into a personal friendship with their Maker and Savior. I close with these words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul writes, and these are quite amazing words, "God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." May God bless each one of us this week as we go out as His ambassadors on our front line. Let me pray. Dear Lord, help us to be those ambassadors for Christ you want us to be. Help us to be good messengers of the gospel, being prepared to give a reason for the hope that's in us. We ask it for your glorious sake and others' good. Amen.